Well, praise God. God is good. Always enjoy getting the opportunity to share with you, although don't particularly enjoy the circumstances. Hope we all need to pray for our pastor that he gets well soon.
Amen.
You know, it's been kind of a tough season, I don't mind telling you. But then I don't think anybody in here is immune to tough seasons.
Nope.
We all have gone through tough seasons. We're certainly not alone in that.
Nope.
So what do we do with the tough seasons?
Give it to God.
Give it to God, absolutely. What do we do when the tough seasons cause us to question our big dreams? We have some big dreams, Linda and I. We've talked a little bit about those things. Am I coming across okay? Everybody hear me?
Yeah.
Sometimes I get quiet. We have some big dreams, things that we're thinking about, things that we've shared. I like to think that someday what Bartimaeus does gets expanded on a whole citywide scale, and then maybe even bigger than that, so that anybody who wants to go to church anywhere in the city has a way. Well, we've got a whole network of churches that are willing to go out and get people and bring them to the church wherever they want to go. I'd love to see that. I've had it in the back of my mind for years. That's where the Holy Rollers term came from. And Linda started talking about mission accessible. The idea crystallized in my mind for what I've come to call launch pads, kind of based on that whole concept of places where people can come and get energized to go out and do what it is that God has called them to do, regardless of disability. The whole thing that Linda's been working on with the idea of getting people aware of what the needs are so that they can go out and do this kind of ministry. All of those dreams are out there. And yet, what's going on here, Lord? I'm facing these chronic headaches. Linda's facing a little bit more health challenges. I think I can safely say that without treading in waters I'm not supposed to be in. What's going on, Lord? What we've got these big dreams. What's going to happen to them? What does that have to do with this scripture? Well, I'm going to tell you. Let's go ahead and read it. Our passage today is out of Mark, the 12th chapter, starting in verse 41. It's a story we all know. I'm going to read it out of the Holman Christian Standard Bible, just because I like the way it reads. Sitting across from the temple treasury, he that is Jesus watched how the crowd dropped money into the treasury. Many rich people were putting in large sums. And a poor widow came and dropped in two tiny coins worth very little. Summoning his disciples, he said to them, "I assure you, this poor widow has put in more than all these giving to the temple treasury. For they all gave out of their surplus, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she possessed, all she had to live on." I believe that this story is about more than money.
Amen.
This story is asking us, what do you have to give? And I believe that that's what's being asked of us. As I stand here before you asking this question in our own life, Lord, what about all these things that you have put before us? What about the call on my own life? He's just asking, what do you have to give? I didn't ask you for what you don't have. I asked you for what you do have. What do you have to give? But what do we know about this story? We don't know a lot about this woman. You know, when people write stories, they give us a lot of information. But the Bible wasn't written as a novel. It wasn't written to give us entertainment. Although certain parts of it can certainly be entertaining if you've ever read and paid attention. There's some entertaining material in there. But it's written primarily for our instruction. The things that God wanted to communicate to us that we would understand. So a lot of times we don't have the kind of detail that we want. And there's not a lot of detail about this woman. We don't even know her name. All we know about her is that she was a widow, that she was extremely poor. And the most important thing that we know about her is that she gave everything she had. The other thing that Jesus did here is he drew a contrast. He drew a contrast between what she did and what the other people did who were there, giving into the temple treasury. Because God's accounting is not our accounting, and I think that's very important for us to realize as we all struggle with challenges in our lives, whether we face disability personally, or whether we know people, or whether we're just dealing with other things in our life that don't have anything to do with disability. God's accounting is not the world's accounting. What she put into that treasury box, it depends on your translation what it says. The version I read doesn't even try to put a value on it. I read a coin collector's blog that thinks it might have been as much as 50 cents. Well, 50 cents doesn't even buy you a candy bar, I don't think. So it's still not much money. So everybody in there probably put in a lot more money than she did. But what did Jesus say? She put in more than anybody else. Why? Because God's accounting system is a completely different than our accounting system. God values the effort. God values the sacrifice more than the worldly value of what it is that you give. So give what you have. That shouldn't be so hard for us to understand. Don't we see things the same way when somebody gives something to us? Now, you know, laying aside what happens when we're kids. When we're kids, we don't understand the value of anything. People give us something, you know, we don't have any concept of value. We're as likely to tear it up as anything. It's just something to have because we get to. But when we get older and we begin to appreciate the value of things and what it takes to get things, when somebody does something for us or gives something to us that we know it costs them dearly to do or give, we place a higher value on that. So doesn't it make sense that our Creator God would think the same way?
Amen.
So think about that. Think about that when you serve God. He values what you do. He values what you give to Him. And He takes into account what it costs you. We value what the gift costs more than the cost of the gift. God really does give an A for effort. Now, we take that principle and take it a little far sometimes in our worldly attempts to equalize outcomes and so forth, but that's a whole other topic for a whole other time. But when you make an effort to overcome the challenges in your life, to glorify God, be assured you do glorify God.
Amen.
I'm going to take it even a step further. Even if you think that you have failed, even if by anyone else's standards you did fail, you still glorified God by your effort.
Amen.
I want you to see that. God is glorified by the fact that you gave Him everything you had. And He will use it. She gave it all. It really doesn't matter how much it is. And it really doesn't matter what it is. Sometimes it is money. I don't want to discount that. I heard one study on the radio recently that said actually people who have less money give proportionately more of it away, which I thought was interesting. And it may say something about the money getting in the way of the value system, maybe, and having too much of it maybe not being a good thing. Not to say that you can't have or shouldn't have a lot of money. It's all in what you do with it. And having more of it just makes you more of whatever you were. But I found that an interesting statistic. It might be things that you have that you give away. It might be skills that you have, things that you know how to do, that the Lord wants you to use to bless somebody. It might be the time that you have, that you can spend. A lot of times, when we're disabled, if we don't have work that we can do, we've got a lot of time. You know, there are a lot of people who would appreciate having some of your time. Just to love on them, spend time with them, share with them. Make use of what God's given you. If He's given you time, give it away. Encouragement, words. Oh, people just don't understand how valuable words can be. Yeah, words can be cheap. Talk can be cheap, but it can also be priceless.
Amen.
Choose your words carefully and they can mean beautiful things. But maybe you've got even less than that. Maybe all you've got is a smile. You know what? God loves your smile. God thinks that's the most beautiful smile in the world when you give it for Him. I want you to give everybody that smile. I'm telling you the absolute truth. God loves that smile. If that is all you have, give it to everybody. Let everybody see it. Because it's what you have. If it's all you have, give it up. Because God values it every bit as much as He does the effort of that person who goes and does and takes care of everybody and does everything. In fact, you know what? If it's hard for you to do that because of the pain and the discomfort that you're going through, He might even value that smile, that simple little smile, more than all those things that somebody else can do.
Amen.
So give it away. Do what you can. That's the message. I'm just kind of speaking out of my heart today, and I hope it's coming together well.
Yeah.
Because that's why we're here. That's why we do what we do. I want you to hear that message. It doesn't matter how much it is. Do what you can. It's so easy when you're facing challenges, when you're facing disability, any kind of challenge in your life, to focus on what you can't do. It's so easy to think, well, I can't do that, because especially if you're used to seeing things or doing things in a certain way, or even if you're used to thinking that things are done a certain way because that's the way everybody else does them. It's so easy to think, well, I'm not able to do that. And so I can't. But instead of thinking I can't, adjust your thinking. Start thinking, how can I? Is there another way? If I really want to do that, if God has really put that in my mind, if that is really the dream from God, then is there another way? If I can't preach from printed notes, then maybe I can preach from Braille notes.
Amen to that. It's a note is a note.
If I can't, whatever it is that you need to overcome, that's a simple example. But apply it to your own life, whatever it is that you're facing. Whatever it is you think God gave you to do. Change your thinking. Find a different way. And maybe there are things that you can't do. You know, God's never going to call me to be a traveling evangelist, at least not to be doing my own driving. I suppose he might call me to be a traveling evangelist, but not my own, you know, not unless he calls Linda and I together and she does the driving. It may not be not the best example, but you see where I'm going. There are things that are physically not going to happen unless God makes some changes or some adjustments. But the point is, yes, there are some realities and adjustments that have to be made, but not to be thinking about what you can't do, but to be thinking about what you can do and adjust your thinking so that maybe there are less things that you can't do than you thought. It's how you think. And hold on to those big dreams. You know, every once in a while, I'm going to call you out, Pam. I hope you don't mind.
Okay.
Every once in a while, Pam comes in here and talks about some big dreams that she has. And I love that. You know, if God gave you those dreams are going to happen. If God didn't give you those dreams, He'll show you better dreams. Or what He really meant for you to do. So I love that you hold on to those dreams and keep trying to make them happen. And in the meantime, do what you can with what you got right now. That's the way we got to live. Another thing that we get caught up in is we think that we've all got to be Paul and Peter. I don't misunderstand. We always need to strive for excellence. We always need to be seeking the Holy Spirit. We always need to be trying as best we can to understand the Word of God, to do everything that He says, to be evangelists, to share the gospel, to spread the Word, to do all those things that He's commanded us to do. I don't want to minimize any of that. But I also want to point out that for every Paul and every Peter in the early church, there were several thousand ordinary people going about ordinary lives, doing ordinary things, that were just as Christian as Peter and Paul, that God loved just as much. And He loves you just as much. Just do what's in front of you to do and listen to see what God is telling you to do today. Don't be content with anything less than God has called you to do. But if you've done everything that He's called you to do today, then you can be content and rest in that. And one more final thought I want to leave you with, and I'm going to quote a piece here. This is just a piece out of Ephesians 3:20. Know this, that He is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. There's a lot of stuff that we can't do, but if we give it all to Him, He can do a whole lot more than we ever imagined. Amen.
Amen.
I hope you've been encouraged today. I hope you took something good away from this and can go out and just do what God intended for you to do. I'm going to wrap it up with a prayer, and then I think we've got an invitational hymn, and if you want any prayer, by all means, I'll be waiting down here in front and be more than happy to pray with you. And then we'll be dismissed and be on our way. Do continue to pray for Pastor and anyone else that we know of that's not doing well because of all this flu that's going around.
Yeah.
Dear Lord, thank You so much. Thank You for being so good and so merciful to us. Thank You for Your compassion. Thank You for just the fact that we are able to come to You, that we are able to present our requests to You. Lord, I'm kind of beyond words at this moment because I'm thinking about that. I'm thinking about Your goodness, and I feel like there's something that's left unsaid that needs to be said, and I'm just asking Your Holy Spirit to take over in this service and in this moment to guide us and to do anything that's left undone, to speak any words that are left unspoken, and to work in any hearts that need a touch from You, because I sense that there is a specialness in this day. I've seen You orchestrate the whole day to suit Your purposes, and I don't think You're finished yet. So we put it in Your hands, and we trust You. And with that, I'm going to turn it over for the invitation. In Jesus' name.
Amen.